السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
After reciting the Tashahhud, Tawz, and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, Ayyadahu Ta'ala bin Astaghfirullah, stated, "Nowadays, Jalsa Muslim Maud Day is being celebrated with regards to the prophecy of the promised reformer wherever Jamaats have been established. February 20 is that day on which the promised Messiah alayhi salam, having been informed by Allah the Exalted, prophesied about the birth of a son and published a leaflet in this regard, in which many of his qualities were mentioned. That leaflet was published on February 20th, 1886. As I said, with regards to this occasion, wherever possible, Muslim Maud Day is celebrated on February 20th. However, where appropriate facilities are not available on this day, the date is moved forward or back. The celebration of Muslim Maud Day and organizing jalsas at this occasion is in fact due to the fulfillment of a magnificent prophecy by the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and not due to the birth of Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu anhu. I have made this clarification because some people, especially some from the younger generation here, or some other people who lack knowledge in this regard, ask as to why we do not celebrate the birthdays of other Khulafa if we celebrate Muslim Maud Day. A matter which should be made clear is that this day is not the birthday of Hazrat Muslim Maud. He was born on 12th of January 1889. Now, after this clarification, today I will speak on the prophecy regarding the promised reformer. First of all, I shall present the words of the prophecy according to the words of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Moreover, it is evident from his own writings, and this was his view, that the prophecy was fulfilled in the person of Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad, Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu anhu. Likewise, it was also the view of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I radiallahu anhu and some other elders that this prophecy was fulfilled in the person of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu anhu. Similarly, as I have mentioned, this prophecy had many features and signs. I will give some examples of how these signs have been fulfilled, and how some of our own people and also others mentioned about this prophecy, and how they felt about it. Firstly, the words of this prophecy according to the writings of the Promised Messiah al-Islam are as follows. The prophecy which is pertaining to this humble one is being written today on 20th of February 1886, which correlates to 15th of Jumadiyul Awwal. By way of summary, I am writing the divine words in brief at this point in time, and shall publish in detail in the form of a booklet at a later stage, inshallah ta'ala, should Allah the Exalted be willing. The Promised Messiah al-Islam then says, "The first prophecy which I declare through divine revelation of Allah the Exalted, the Merciful and Noble, the Magnificent Lord Most High, who has power to do all that He wills, glory to be Him and exalted be His name, addressed me in a revelation and said, I confer upon you a sign of my mercy according to what you begged of me. So I have heard your entreaties and have honored your prayers with my acceptance through my mercy, and made your journey, i.e. the journey of Hoshiarpur and Ludhiana, a source of blessings for you. Therefore, a sign of power, mercy, nearness is bestowed on you, a sign of grace and beneficence is awarded to you, and you are granted the key of success and victory. Peace on you, O victorious one. Thus did God speak, so that those who desire life may be rescued from the grip of death, and those who are buried in the graves may come out of them, and so that the superiority of Islam and the dignity of God's word may become manifest unto the people, and so that the truth may arrive with all its blessings, and falsehood may flee with all its ills, and so that people may understand that I am the Lord of power. I do whatever I will. And so that they may believe that I am with you, and so that those who do not believe in God and deny and reject His religion and His book and His holy messenger Muhammad, the chosen one, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may be confronted with a clear sign, and the way of the guilty ones may become manifest. Rejoice, therefore, that a handsome and pure boy will be bestowed on you. You will receive an unblemished youth who will be of your seed and will be of your progeny. This means that he will be from the physical offspring of the Promised Messiah al-Islam. Not only will it be from the Promised Messiah al-Islam's physical progeny, but rather he will be from among the children of the Promised Messiah. He continues by saying, "A handsome and pure boy is coming as your guest. His name is Emmanuel and also Bashir. He has been invested with a spirit of holiness, and he is free from all impurity. He is the light of Allah. Blessed is he who comes from heaven. He will be accompanied by grace which will arrive with him. He will be characterized with grandeur, greatness, and wealth. He will come into this world and will heal many of their disorders through his messianic qualities and through the blessings of the spirit of holiness. He is the word of Allah, for Allah's mercy and honor have equipped him with the word of majesty. He will be extremely intelligent and perceptive and will be meek of heart and will be filled with secular and spiritual knowledge. He will convert three into four. It is a Monday, a blessed Monday. Son, delight of the heart, high-ranking noble, a manifestation of the first and the last, a manifestation of the true and the high, as if Allah has descended from heaven. His advent will be greatly blessed and will be a source of manifestation of divine majesty. Behold, a light comes, anointed by God with the perfume of His pleasure. We shall pour our spirit into Him, and He will be sheltered under the shadow of God. He will grow rapidly in stature, and will be the means of procuring the release of those held in bondage. His fame will spread to the ends of the earth, and peoples will be blessed through Him. He will then be raised to His spiritual station in heaven. And this is a matter decreed. Hence, these were the words of the prophecy regarding Hazrat Muslimod, the promised reformer. Following this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states in relation to Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad, Khalifatul Masih II, and this prophecy. Similarly, when my first son passed away, the ignorant Maulvis, i.e. religious clerics, their associates, Christians and Hindus, expressed their immense joy at his demise. Hence, they were repeatedly informed that on 20th of February 1886, it was also prophesied that certain sons would pass away. Thus, it was necessary for a son to pass away in his infancy. Yet, these people did not refrain from raising allegations. Following this, God the Exalted gave me the glad tidings of another son. Hence, the glad tidings of the birth of the second son is found on the 7th page of my green announcement. Another Bashir will be granted, whose second name will be Mahmud. The Promised Messiah Islam states, even though it is 1st of September 1888, and he has not been born yet. The Promised Messiah Islam is making an announcement in September 1888, stating, even though it is 1st of September, and he has not been born yet, he will most certainly be born within the appointed time in accordance with the promise of God the Exalted. The heaven and the earth may alter, however, his promise cannot be altered. The Promised Messiah Islam stated, this is the abstract from the 7th page of the Green Announcement, in accordance to which a son was born in January 1889, who was named Mahmud, and by the grace of Allah the Exalted, is still alive and in his 17th year. The first excerpt is from an earlier writing. The second passage was written later by the Promised Messiah alayhi salam in Haqiqatul Wahi. There are other extracts of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam in relation to this. However, instead of presenting further excerpts, I will present a narration relating to the status of Hazrat Muslim Maud in the eyes of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, radiallahu anhu. Six months prior to the demise of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, radiallahu anhu, Pir Manzoor Muhammad Sahib, the author of Qaida Yasin al-Quran, narrates that he wrote to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, radiallahu anhu, and said, after reading the announcements of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, I have come to know today that Mia Sahib, i.e. Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad, is that promised son. Upon this, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, radiallahu anhu, said, I am already aware of this fact. Do you not observe the particular manner in which I meet with Mia Sahib and show due courtesy? The aforementioned Pir Sahib penned down this very words and presented this to Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, radiallahu anhu, for approval. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I wrote that he, i.e. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih, had stated these words to respected Pir Manzoor Muhammad Sahib, and he signed it Nuruddin, 10th of September, 1913. He says that following the night of the 11th September 1913, one day after the aforementioned incident took place, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I was in his home and laying down on the charpai, i.e. a traditional woven bed. I started massaging his feet. After a short while, without any discussion or mention thereof, he, i.e. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, personally said not to publish that article just yet. In other words, that Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad is the very fulfillment of this prophecy, rather that he should publish it when his opposition increases. One of the elders, Ghulam Hussain Sahib, a numberdar from the area of Arazai in city of Sialkot, wrote to Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu, following his claim of being the promised reformer, saying, my beloved guide and leader, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, the promised reformer, May Allah assist you. Having read the newspaper Al-Fazl dated 30th of January, I express my gratitude towards Allah the Exalted. Alhamdulillah, i.e. all praise belongs to Allah, that God the Exalted has proven my vision to be true. He writes, Hazur will perhaps be aware of the fact that during the life of Hazrat Khalid Masih I, this humble one congratulated Hazur in the office of Al-Fazl and in the company of the late Shadi Khan Sahib on the fact that Allah the Exalted manifested to me in a vision that you would be the Khalifa following Hazrat Khalid Masih I, and that you would be successful and receive revelations. I mentioned this vision to Hazrat Khalid Masih I, radiallahu anhu. He rejoiced greatly, and affirming this, he said that this is the reason he has started being opposed severely. I also mentioned this vision to the late Sayyid Hamid Shah Sahib. Alhamdulillah, that Hazur has personally claimed to be Muslim Aud. The reason for this is that Hazrat Muslim Aud, radiallahu anhu, made this announcement in 1944. He says, Previously, I had already acquired absolute conviction of you being God's Khalifa and the Muslim Aud during the life of Hazrat Khalid Masih I. Similarly, there is another elder, respected Sufi Mutia Rahman Sahib Bengali. In relation to Hazrat Muslim Aud, he writes, following in one of his writings, he wrote this following the announcement of being Muslim Aud. I consider it appropriate to narrate a dream of mine. I saw this dream 24 or perhaps 30 years ago. I have previously already written to Hazur in relation to this. Now, following beloved Hazur's claim of being Muslim Aud, I am certain that this dream is in relation to this prophecy. I saw in a dream that on the occasion of the celebration of Eid, the promised Messiah alayhi salam is standing on an extremely elevated place, adorned in a green robe, delivering a sermon. Following the conclusion of the sermon, when I stepped forward in order to shake his hand, I saw that this was in fact beloved Hazur, i.e. Hazrat Khalid Masih II, and not the promised Messiah alayhi salam. I narrated this dream to respected Captain Dr. Badruddin Sahib, as well as my brother, respected Maulvi Zilur Rahman Sahib, who is a missionary in Bengal. Maulvi Zilur Rahman Sahib said that you were shown this part of a prophecy in relation to Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, in which it was stated that the promised son will be equal to the promised Messiah alayhi salam in terms of beauty and benevolence. Part of the prophecy states that he will be your equal in terms of beauty and benevolence. Similarly, Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Ismail Sahib of Saraswati says, We have repeatedly heard the promised Messiah alayhi salam state, not once, but repeatedly, that the boy who has been mentioned in the prophecy is in fact Mia Mahmud. Furthermore, we have also heard the promised Messiah alayhi salam state that Mia Mahmud is filled with such immense passion for religion that I specifically pray for him at times. Until Allah the Exalted informed Hazrat Muslim Aud of being the promised reformer, he did not claim to be Muslim Aud. Furthermore, when he was clearly given permission to make this announcement, he did so. At that time, he stated, There is no doubt that following the fulfillment of several signs mentioned by the Prophet Messiah alayhi salam in relation to this promised son, many members of the Jamaat would say that this prophecy was in fact connected to me. However, I always used to say that until Allah the Exalted does not instruct me to make such an announcement, I am not going to do so. Eventually, that day arrived when God the Exalted was going to announce this through my words. Then, at the time of the announcement on the occasion of Jalsa Hoshiarpur, he said, In accordance with the commandment of God, I swear by his name and announce openly that according to the prophecy of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, God has declared me to be the promised son who was going to spread the name of the promised Messiah alayhi salam to the corners of the world. Then during the Jalsa in Lahore, he said, I swear by the one and supreme God to swear falsely in whose name is merely the doing of the accursed ones. Whoever makes a false claim in his name cannot escape his punishment, that God informed me in Lahore, in the home of the advocate Sheikh Bashir Ahmed Sahib on 13 Temple Road, that I am in fact the fulfillment of the prophecy of Muslim Aud, and that I am that very Muslim Aud through whom Islam would reach the corners of the earth and the unity of God would establish in the world. Several signs can be found which the promised Messiah alayhi salam has mentioned regarding the promised son in the prophecy of Muslim Maud. There are 52 or 58. Nevertheless, there are more than 50 signs. Furthermore, I will mention in the manner in which his own people as well as non-Ahmadis have observed and witnessed these qualities within Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu. At the time of Hazrat Muslim Maud's demise, Hazrat Sayyid Abul al-Farsh al-Husni of Damascus states, "Our hearts were extremely tormented and saddened because of the demise of Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, radiallahu anhu. This anguish was distressing for every Ahmadi. The Jamaat of Damascus in particular is extremely saddened and sorrowful because this Jamaat was planted directly by the blessed hands of His Holiness and it was irrigated by His special attention and spirituality. Therefore, this flower thrived and prospered. What Allah the Almighty said about His Holiness is indeed the truth. Nations will receive blessings through Him. We obtain divine favor through the blessings of His prayers." He writes, "I remember clearly that I experienced the spiritual and material effects of His acceptance of prayers whenever I requested Him to pray. The divine revelation about His Holiness is the absolute truth. He is the light that shines forth, and God has wrapped this light with the essence of His acceptance." In the 27th July 1944 publication of Al-Fazl, respected Muhammad Mohail Sahib's dream is mentioned. Muhammad Mohail Sahib Ahmadi narrated the following dream of Muhammad Akram Sahib, who was one of his non-Ahmadi relatives, in the presence of Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Khalifatul Masih II, radiallahu anhu, in Kamal Dera. This person, who had not yet converted to Ahmadiyya, writes, "In 1936, when His Holiness was staying in Nawabshah, the night before this, I saw in a dream that there is a person riding a lion from the station near the marketplace located in Nawabshah Chakra, going westward. When he came closer, I noticed that the verses of the Holy Quran were written on his blessed body. I asked the people around me about this person. They replied, 'This is Hazrat Mirza Mahmud Ahmad Qadiani.' Then I inquired, 'What is his status?' The response was, 'He is the greatest saint in the world.'" Allah the Almighty made the non-Ahmadis express the truthfulness of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Hence, Maulvi Samiullah Khan Sahib Faruqi, a respectable non-Ahmadi scholar, wrote an article entitled "Declaration of Truth Before the Creation of Pakistan," and says, "Allah the Almighty informs the promised Messiah that I shall select a person from the Jamaat from your progeny. I will distinguish him with my favor, and the truth will progress through him, and a lot of people will accept the truth." He writes, "Read this prophecy and read it again and again. Then ask yourselves if this prophecy was fulfilled or not. The current caliph was a child when this was prophesied, and there was no will left behind by Mirza Sahib, indicating that he should be chosen as a caliph in the future. In fact, the decision to elect the caliph was left with the public. Hence, at the time, the majority accepted Hakim Nuruddin Sahib as the khalifa. The opponents ridiculed the above-mentioned prophecy. When Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I was elected, people mocked the prophecy, saying that the prophecy was about his son, but he was not the one elected as caliph. After the demise of Hakim Sahib, however, Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad was chosen as the caliph. Anon Ahmadi is writing this. He is not an Ahmadi. It is true that the extent of the progress of Ahmadiyya during his era is astonishing. The total number of Ahmadis during the time of Mirza Sahib was very little. This number did not progress much during the time of Khalifa Nuruddin Sahib's time. However, at the time of the current Khalifa, Mirzayat almost reached all the regions of the world, and the current state of affairs suggests that in future censuses the population of Ahmadis will more than double compared to 1931, despite the fact that organized efforts by the opponents to exploit Mirzayat were more intense at this time than ever before. In short, according to the prophecy, there was one person from your progeny who was created for the Jamaat, and the Jamaat achieved spectacular progress through him. This clearly shows that Mirza Sahib's prophecy was fulfilled word for word. Then Arjun Singh Sahib, a non-Muslim Sikh journalist from India, who was the editor of Rangin Amritsar, admitted this, saying, "In 1901, when Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmed Sahib was just a child, Mirza Sahib prophesied the following words: Glad tidings are given to thee of a son, who will one day be my beloved. Through him shall I remove darkness. I will show the entire world a remarkable change. What is the glad tiding? It is the nourishment of the heart. Holy is he who disgraces my enemies." He writes, "There is no doubt that this prophecy is astonishing. In 1901, Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmed was neither an eminent scholar, nor the pearls of his political competence had become evident. To say at that time that he will have a son with certain attributes is proof of spiritual power. It can be concluded that since Mirza Sahib had made a claim, he established the foundation for a throne, and for this reason he could have entertained the thought of his son becoming his successor. However, this is a false assumption, because Mirza Sahib did not attach any conditions of Khilafat that he will be certainly from the family and lineage of Mirza Sahib. Hence, Khalifatul Masih I had no relation with the family of Mirza Sahib. Also, it was quite possible for someone else to be selected as Khalifa after Maulvi Hakim Nuruddin Sahib, the first Khalifa. Hence, Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib, Amir Jamaat Lahore, was hopeful to be elected as Khalifa. However, the majority sided with Mirza Bashiruddin Sahib, and in this manner he was appointed as Khalifa." He writes, "Now the question arises that if there was no spiritual power working with Mirza Sahib, then how was he able to find out about a son with such attributes? When Mirza Sahib made the announcement, he had three sons, and he would pray for all three, but the prophecy was only about one, and we see that he brought about a change in the world." The condition of the Jamaat at the time and the worldly resources Jamaat had access to at the time were not the same as today. Even today, we do not have all the resources, but the condition is a lot better than the past. However, even under those circumstances, with the help and support of Allah the Almighty, the Jamaat was established in more than 50 countries and in almost every continent. This was according to the prophecy about Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu and of the spread of Islam through him and a result of his determination. Then, the objective of the Promised Son's advent was for the eminence of Islam and the status of God's word to be made manifest for the people. A famous Muslim leader of the Indo-Pakistan subcontinent and a famous poet, Maulana Zafar Ali Khan Sahib, editor of Zimmedar newspaper, admitted this openly to his own people, saying, "Listen very carefully. You and your associates can never compete with Mirza Mahmud until the Day of Judgment. Mirza Mahmud has the Quran and the knowledge of the Quran. What do you have? You have never studied the Quran even in your dreams. Mirza Mahmud has such a Jamaat that is ready to sacrifice its life, wealth and resources on his signal. Mirza Mahmud has missionaries who are experts in different fields of study, and he has planted the flags of his Jamaat in every country." Regarding the Promised Son, there was a divine promise that he would be full of determination and he would be filled with secular and spiritual knowledge. Thus, a renowned Sufi of India, Khwaja Hasan Nizami Dehlvi, while reflecting on Hazrat Muslim Maud's character, writes, "He would often be ill, but this never had any impact on his determination to work. Even in the face of extreme opposition, he worked with great composure and thus manifested his Mughal bravery. Moreover, the Mughal tribe evinces a particular style as rulers, and so he was well versed in the field of politics as well as possessing strong knowledge and perception of religion. He also had great knowledge of the tactics in battle, that is, the battle of intellect and the art of writing." Another very important aspect of the prophecy regarding the promised son is that he will be the means of procuring the release of those held in bondage. The prophecy has also been fulfilled in numerous forms to such an extent that one is left astounded. The movement for the independence of Kashmir bears testimony to this, because the success of this movement was all down to the efforts of the All India Kashmir Committee. And this famous committee was established in Shimla on 25th of July 1931 on the advice of Hazrat Muslim Maud Radhiyallahu Anhu and other prominent leaders of Indo-Pakistan. For instance, Sir Zulfikar Ali Khan, Dr. Sir Muhammad Iqbal, Khwaja Hasan Nizami Dehlvi, Sayyid Habib, the editor of newspaper Siyasat, etc. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II Radhiyallahu Anhu was appointed as the head of this committee. Under his successful leadership, the Muslims of Kashmir, who had been deprived from even the most basic human rights and were living a life of subjugation, in such a short space of time began to breathe the air of freedom. Their political and civil rights were recognized. For the first time, an assembly was created in their state, and through discourse and writing, they were able to adequately represent themselves. Upon this, the Muslim press, acknowledging the outstanding achievement, paid tribute to Hazrat Muslim Maud Radhiyallahu Anhu, and even wrote that during the period when the condition of Kashmir was extremely precarious, those who chose Mirza Sahib as the president of the movement kept their religious differences to one side and made an excellent choice by keeping the success of this task as their main objective. If, at that time, owing to their religious differences, they did not elect Mirza Sahib as the president, then this movement would have completely failed, and this would have been a great loss for its people. Maulana Muhammad Ali Johar Sahib, who was a very renowned politician and a scholar, wrote in his newspaper Hamdard on 26th of September 1927, "It would be ungrateful of us if we fail to mention here about Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmed and his highly organized community, who has devoted all his efforts for the betterment of all the Muslims, irrespective of their beliefs. If, on the one hand, they are taking interest in the political affairs of the Muslims, however, on the other hand, they are also occupied in striving for the organization, tabligh, and trade amongst the Muslims. That time is not far off when their code of practice will prove to be a model for the Muslims in general, but particularly for those religious scholars who sit in mosques and claim to be rendering great services for Islam." Meaning that Maulvis merely make claims, whereas these people make endeavors. Then, Allama Abdul Majid Daryabadi, who is a renowned Muslim exegete of the Holy Quran and editor of the newspaper Sidq-e-Jadid, wrote on the demise of Hazrat Muslim Maud Radhiyallahu Anhu, and while paying tribute to his services to the Quran, wrote, "May God Almighty reward him for the efforts he rendered towards the worldwide propagation of the Quran and the knowledge of the Quran, and also towards the propagation of the teachings of Islam, which he continued to do with such passion and determination even in the latter part of his life. In relation to his intellectual abilities, his exegesis of the Holy Quran on its truths and subtleties and its translation occupies a lofty and unique status." An American priest once came to Qadian. This is also another example of him being fulfilled with secular and spiritual knowledge. This incident occurred in 1914, and he presented a few religious questions to Ahmadis, which were extremely important. He also stated that he had travelled from America, and he had presented these questions to many ulama, i.e. scholars, but he did not receive any satisfactory answers. He said, "I am here to present these questions to your Khalifa, to see what answers he gives." Maulvi Umardeen Chimalvi Sahib says, "The questions were so complex and peculiar that as soon as I heard them, I was certain that since Hazrat Sahib is still a young man, and nor has he undertaken any formal study in the subject of divinity, he is young and does not have familiarity with the subject, therefore he will not be able to answer them, and the Ahmadiyya community will be dishonored. It will be dishonorable before the whole world, because when Hazrat Sahib will not be able to answer these questions, then this priest will go back and create a propaganda on this basis, and will claim that the Khalifa of the Ahmadis has no knowledge, and could not stand before the Christians, and is only a Khalifa by name." This was Mauli Sahib's view. However, he does not have any knowledge in reality. Thus, I was extremely concerned and tried my best that the American priest does not get a chance to meet Hazrat Sahib and he returns. However, I failed in my efforts as he insisted on meeting. He further says, "After all, I went to Hazrat Sahib and informed him that an American priest is here and he wishes to ask a few questions. Therefore, what shall we do?" Without any hesitation, Hazrat Sahib said, "Invite him in." I therefore brought him and I was translating for both. After some initial conversation, the American priest presented his questions before Hazrat Sahib, and I translated them. Hazrat Muslim Audh heard his question very calmly, and then immediately gave him such satisfactory answers that I was left astounded. I had no knowledge that Hazrat Sahib would deliver such an insightful and unique answer. When I relayed these answers to the American priest in English, he too was left astounded and replied, "I have not heard such an intellectual and comprehensive speech delivered by anyone before this. It is evident that your Khalifa is a great scholar and has extensive knowledge of world religions." After saying this, he took leave with great respect from Hazrat Sahib and kissed Hazur's hand and returned. In February 1945, Hazrat Muslim Maud delivered a magnificent lecture titled "The Economic System of Islam" in the Ahmadiyya Hostel, Lahore. He had great knowledge in worldly affairs also. After the lecture, the chair of the convention, Lala Ram Chand Majandar Sahib, delivered a short speech in which he said, "I consider myself to be extremely fortunate that I had the opportunity to listen to such an invaluable lecture. I am happy at the fact that the Ahmadiyya movement is progressing, and in fact making extraordinary progress. In this lecture that you have just heard, Hazur has mentioned some extremely valuable and new points. I have greatly benefited from this lecture, and I think that you have also greatly benefited from these valuable points." I was delighted to see that not only Muslims, but non-Muslims were also present at this jalsa, and it was pleasing to see that the Muslim-non-Muslim relations were improving. I had the opportunity to exchange the views with many esteemed members of the Ahmadiyya community. This community acts on the teachings of Islam in a manner that is extremely beneficial for this country. It was a mistake on my part that I assumed that in principles of Islam, only the rights of Muslims were protected, and the rights of non-Muslims were not considered. However, having listened to the speech of the Imam of the Ahmadiyya community, today I have come to realize that Islam teaches equality amongst humanity, and it pleased me to hear this. I will ask all my non-Muslim acquaintances as to what issue they have with giving respect and honor to this interpretation of Islam. You all have listened to His Holiness's speech for approximately 2.5 hours patiently. If anyone from Europe saw this unfold, they would be astonished to see that India has advanced to such an extent. I am grateful to you all that you listened to the speech with so much devotion. Furthermore, from my part, and also on behalf of you all, I would like to thank the Imam of the Ahmadiyya community with hundreds of thousands of praises for allowing us to benefit from his invaluable research. Then Mr. Akhtar Aryuni Sahib, MA, Head of Department of Urdu in Patna University, writes an eyewitness account about Professor Abdul Manan Bedil Sahib, who was the former head of the Persian department, regarding Tafsir-e-Kabir. He says, "In quick succession, I presented a few volumes of Tafsir-e-Kabir written by Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Sani radiallahu anhu to Professor Abdul Manan Bedil Sahib, the former head of department of Persian, Patna College, presently the principal of Shabina College, Patna. Having read these volumes, he was so inspired by them that he gave some of the volumes to the scholars of Madrasa Arabiya Shamsul Huda in Patna. On one occasion, he called all the scholars and asked for their opinions on the matter. The words of the prophecy were that he would be instilled with the knowledge of the Quran. One of them replied, 'Amongst all the Persian exegesis, there is none like this.' Professor Abdul Manan Sahib then asked, 'What about amongst exegesis in Arabic?' The scholars remained quiet. After a short while, one of them said, 'In Patna, all of the exegesis in Arabic are not available. After obtaining all the commentaries from Egypt and Syria, can one form an accurate opinion?' Professor Sahib began discussing old commentaries in the Arabic language and then said, 'The exegesis by Mirza Mahmud is exceptional, the likes of which cannot be found in any language. You may request for all the new exegesis from Egypt, and we will converse again after a few months.' The scholars of Arabic and Persian were left speechless." Qureshi Abdurrahman Sahib Sakhir writes about Huzur's enchanting and knowledgeable character by saying, "During His Holiness's stay in Sakhir, many members of the Jamaat would bring their non-Ahmadi friends to meet His Holiness. I also brought along a friend of mine who often boasted of his own astute wisdom. His Holiness was present in the gathering. People would ask questions and His Holiness would answer them. However, throughout the gathering, my friend remained silent. When the gathering concluded, I asked him as to why he did not ask a question. He replied by saying, 'Speaking in this gathering was akin to highlighting one's own limitations.' Despite being a fierce opponent, Hazur's discourse was so awe-inspiring that he thought it was wise that he should leave his faith unscathed, let alone ask a question." Lala Karamchand, the editor of a weekly journal named Paris, along with some of his columnists, visited Qadian and returned with such enthusiasm and inspiration, having met with Hazur, that they wrote an article about it in the paper. They wrote, "We consider Zafrullah Khan to be a great man, i.e. Chaudhry Zafrullah Khan Sahib, who in those days was a member of the Executive Council of the Viceroy. However, when compared with Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmed, he measures up to be a mere student. He has the better of ideas in all matters, i.e. the status and rank of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II is far greater, and his ideas are superior and also presents the best arguments. He has unrelenting organizational skills. A man with his qualities can take any country to its peak with absolute ease." A knowledgeable scholar once attended the Jalsa Salana Qadian. He wrote the following about Hazrat Muslim Maud and his followers: "Another aspect which I have noted with great detail is that this entire community, this entire system, gathering and infrastructure all work in accordance with the signals of this pure and holy Khalifa. I have come to the conclusion that the Imam of the Ahmadiyya community is an exceptional writer, an excellent orator, and a governor with remarkable administrative skills." After studying the third volume of Tafsir-e-Kabir, Allama Niaz Fatahpuri Sahib said, "I am currently studying Tafsir-e-Kabir Volume 3 in great depth. There is no doubt that the author has given an altogether new perspective in analyzing the Quran. This sort of commentary is the first of its kind in which knowledge and thought has been combined with such beauty. His knowledge, the breadth of his wisdom, his extraordinary vision and foresight and impeccable conclusions is clear from each word. It saddens me as to why I was unaware of this book for so long. I wish that I could read all of these volumes. Yesterday, when I read the commentary of Surah Hud about Prophet Lot alayhi salam and what he had written, I was amazed and was compelled to write that his commentary of Ha'ulai Binati is completely different from all other commentators. The angle of the discussion expressed by him was so remarkable that I do not have adequate words with which to congratulate him. May God Almighty safeguard him for a lengthy time. Thus, listening to the sentiments of Ahmadis and non-Ahmadis and seeing how they have expressed their views about the impact Hazrat Muslim Maud's character had on their lives is one that astounds everyone. This is plain manifestation of the truthfulness of the prophecy. During the jalsas that are taking place these days, and given the opportunity to listen to this prophecy as well as the incredible achievements of Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu, we should pray for the rank of Hazrat Muslim Maud to continue to increase. At the same time, we should analyze our own conditions and understand that the progress of Ahmadiyyat requires every Ahmadi to have firm resolve. And to use their faculties to the best of their abilities in order to achieve this. If we do this, then we will see the progress and advancement of Ahmadiyyat in our very lifetime. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do so.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله يا